Before we dive into this episode, I have an exciting offer for you. You know that my passion is simplifying formulation for all hairstylists. Right now, my best-selling masterclass, Hair Color Formulation Simplified, is on sale for only $47. To get yours now, simply go to my website, www.expertcolorsolutions.com/simple. Hello, hey, and welcome to Ask the Color Expert. My name is Elaine Travis. I am a career hair colorist, independent educator, and author of the book, A Colorful Journey. I'm here every week sharing tips, tricks, and stories that are all things hair color. Thanks for joining me, and let's get started. The Ask the Color Expert podcast is proudly sponsored by Kin North America. Kin is available directly to salons with no middleman, and they pass that savings on to you. They carry color, retail, and texture products, and they're all developed and manufactured in their factory in Spain. After more than 90 years in business, Kin is still owned by the founding family. They are passionate about being the very best they can be. For more information on Kin, contact Gary at kinnorthamerica.com. If you follow me, you know that I do not work for any manufacturer, but I do love to share things that I love using in my own salon in Pennsylvania. We are proud users of the Kin color. We get excellent gray coverage and excellent support. Hello, and welcome back to the Ask the Color Expert podcast. Today's special guest is Tara Abramowitz. She is a global artist for Redken, meaning she teaches on stages in front of thousands all over the world. She is an expert colorist, specializing in creative and corrective color. She is also openly autistic and brings a new conversation to the salon industry about inclusivity in salons. I am so excited to have you here today, Tara. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So I have followed you for a very long time in your journey in Redken. I am a Redken, especially Redken Shades user. I am also now an independent color educator. So I stay brand free, but in my workshops, I'm constantly saying, you know, if you use a 7NA, I'm always referring to Redken color. And my students are like, are you sure you don't work for Redken? So I love following you and other Redken artists because, as you know, there's always brand new things coming out. I do a cheat sheet in my membership for colorists, and I have to keep redoing it because they keep adding these new shades, which is fun, but frustrating because my chart, all the shades no longer fit. My favorite thing about you and what stood out to me with you and why I've stuck with you and followed you is your approach to teaching is the way that you explain things is not so simplified that you assume that the learner knows nothing, but it also, you don't assume that they know everything, and you're very clear in your explanations. I just saw a post on your, I believe it was your Instagram, and it was someone had Vivids and it was purple and she wanted to go with her more natural color. And that's something that, you know, you and I both know how simple it really can be, but people get completely hijacked when they see the situation like, oh my gosh, purple Vivids. How am I going to get it out? How am I going to have to bleach the whole hat? Like, they overcomplicate everything. So I would love for you to speak to that as far as, you know, you took the time and you said, I don't want to use this because this has violet in it. I don't want to use that. Like, you talked through out loud what you were thinking. And I love that.
Well, thank you. Truth be told, like, I think sometimes we think of educators, we think of people who are like the experts, and we think that they never have unwavering thoughts. They never go to this place of like worry and doubt. And literally when this client was sitting in my chair and she's like, I want to go natural and I want to, and I knew what was underneath that Vivid. I knew that it was lightened to beyond platinum under there. And so I'm sitting there going, okay, well, I can choose to use lightener or a color remover. And I know for a fact that what's happening under there is already a little bit, doesn't love to hang on to color. And Vivids hang on the best. We might think sometimes, oh, Vivids, don't like they won't last, but they have the largest color molecule and they'll sit on the outside and kind of sink into those overly porous heads of hair. So me thinking that and going, okay, so what's going to happen if I lighten this out? There's a good chance shades is going to come pouring right out. So I need to A, make sure I fill it, and B, make sure I don't over lighten her hair. So that was my thought process that day. And like, as she's like, go natural, I'm sitting there like having like the whole inner demons in my mind being like, should you lighten it out? Maybe you should use a clear to bump out the color. So just know if you're a colorist out there that gets challenged with these types of color corrections, know you're not alone, first of all. You just have to kind of weigh your pros and cons. Like, what's a pro of removing all this color? Okay, an even canvas, that's a pro, right? But what's a con? It might not hold on to shades at all. So, me making that decision and deciding, okay, so if we lighten her hair, I would like to lighten only some of it so the other hair's integrity stays. And that was my true thought process there. And then we have to go into Shades EQ Gloss and decide, like, okay, so now I know my color wheel. How can I get rid of the purple and counteract it and also not make it muddy? Because when you look at the color wheel and you think, oh, I'll just go ahead and use the opposite side of the color wheel, that color then neutralizes and you have to leave some residual warmth to make it appear valuable to the eye. And you also have to fill the hair. So that was truly my thought process there, was retaining the hair's integrity and also leaving residual warmth and kind of doing like a fill in one step, and then going back and doing my second glaze after that would kind of give me the second part of my fill so that I get longevity in the color.
I love that you just explained all of that. And never once did you say, I asked three people in the salon what they thought. Because I think sometimes that we all doubt ourselves, myself included. And then when we start to ask others, it's not usually helpful. It usually confuses us more. And we tend to go, when we're afraid, we tend to go with what the other person said and don't trust our gut. And sometimes that's not a great outcome. You also mentioned, should I go in with clear? I think that's one of the things that there's a lot of confusion around because when people hear clear for lifting out vivids, they think Shades EQ clear. And I'm like, no, that's not what they meant. It's always taken out of context. So can you speak to when you do use clear successfully and what it really means?
Yeah, absolutely. It's so funny because clear is something to not be toyed with. So let's just first of all get some clarity on clear. Let's be clear on clear.
I love it.
I'm sorry. But so there's Shades EQ clear. And that to me, I like to always think of Shades EQ gloss clear as like water. It's diluting your color. You still need to pretend though that it's like a color that's clear because you're needing to mix processing solution in equal parts. So you're considering that color but with nothing to it. It's see-through, it's completely translucent. So adding that to a color is just going to make that color more translucent. You still have to use your processing solution though in Shades EQ Gloss. Now, there's other clears out there in the world, and the other clears are for permanent colors. So if you're using a permanent color line, color gels, color fusion, whatever line that you're using, and it's a permanent color line, if that has a clear, you need to know there will be lift in it. Like there will be lift. No matter what, there's going to be a chemical reaction that happens when you mix that developer that creates a bit of lifting ability. Now, when I choose a permanent clear, I also have to consider how much of their natural base is there. And I was in my specific color situation I was referring to, I was challenged with that because if I were to use a permanent color line clear, which I was considering to remove out the purple, I also have to remember that it could touch some of her natural color and create lift, which would then expose undertones. So do I want any orange in her hair and the purple? Because now I'm creating another color correction, right? So when I'm choosing clear, it really has to be on hair that I'm isolating areas. For example, if somebody's entire head is a vivid color, okay, cool, it feels safer to use clear. But if they have any natural growth, I can't be touching it or I will lift it. Whereas Shades EQ Gloss Clear, it's just for shine. It's for shine and translucency. So definitely don't mix up Shades EQ Gloss Clear or any demi-permanent clear that doesn't have any lifting ability. and a permanent color that does have lifting ability, their version of clear. So I would say that typically you might just go towards a permanent clear to help make, you know, your pigment maybe not as strong in your permanent color, but now people are using it for creative things. So
When you do use it to lift color out, say it's a global vivid and you're trying to bump that out, what volume of developer do you recommend? Because I noticed Tracy Cunningham always says 30 volume. Is that necessary, or is that just in the situation that she happened to have when she shares that?
I would say, here's the thing. I've got a strong viewpoint on volume choice.
So do I. That's why I'm asking.
Right. And honestly, mine is not the popular viewpoint. A lot of people are like, okay, low and slow, never touch 30, never touch 40. I believe that there is a reason for every developer. I don't think that 30 volume is always necessary by any stretch. And I also don't think 10 volume is enough in some situations, especially as it pertains to hair color. If you're using lightener, okay, great. Like, they're just the speed of process. And I will say, and this is the part lean in that everybody's gonna be like, but 10 volume sometimes won't destroy enough melanin. Sometimes it won't. Period, end of story. And that's on people with really strong melanin types. I'm talking like really dark hair. If you know you've seen this client before, that you can foil them with 40 volume, a 1-to-1 ratio, and paper thin, like tiny, tiny foils, and they still don't lift past yellow, those are the people that 10 volume would never take you there. Period, end of story. I don't care if you let them sit for 4 years, like it won't get you there. So is there a use and need in some cases for 30? Yes. Usually people use it just for speed though. And when it pertains to hair color and a clear found in hair color, you have to also consider that hair color's actual speed of process too. So if you have a permanent hair color that say requires a 35 to 45 minute processing time and you use 30 volume, no matter what, there's going to be a certain rate of lift process within that chemical equation. It's not going to lift any faster or slower than if, like if you were using with lightener, yeah, it could go faster. But in a color, there's not going to be a different color reaction, chemical reaction. It's still going to lift. What it will do is destroy more natural melanin. So as you know, if you ever got 30 volume on your finger versus 10 volume on your finger, which one burns first? So can the 30 volume cause a little bit more damage? Yes. Can it break through a little bit more melanin that exists on somebody with really heavy melanated hair? Yes. And when I say melanated, I want to be clear. I want to be somebody who like has really dark hair. I'm not talking about like any hair that just happens to be a level 3, because some level 3s are a harder lifter than others. So if that makes sense, I think it depends on how much melanin exists in the hair and why I would choose a higher volume. In most cases, to use clear to pull out a vivid, that's hair that's been pre-lifted. Honestly, 20 volume is my go-to. It's my workhorse.
Okay. I'm not surprised, because Tracy, her whole model is speed, and she sees some insane amount of client, I think 40 clients a day or something. And she says that she does every one of them herself. I'm like, I need to see that in person. Well, I would be so anxious watching it in person, but she's a whole different, she's amazing, but wow, she is completely different when it comes to, you know, working on clients. So we talked about in your introduction that you are openly autistic. I often share with my friends and family that I'm 56 years old, so we didn't have autism, or they didn't call it that back then. So I was never diagnosed, never tested, and none of those things, but I know in my heart that I'm definitely on the very high functioning spectrum of what I believe to be like an Asperger's. I'm not sure if that's what you have going on, or if it's like, I definitely have ADHD, but the Asperger's, the reason I say that is if you, during this interview, if you were nervously clicking a pen, I would be like, Tara, we have to stop right now. You have to lose that pen, because I'm going to freak out. Like repetitive, unnecessary noises. I'm trying to think of what else. Like, there's just so many things that I'm like, oh wow, I bet you that I would be diagnosed and probably medicated if this were, you know, back then, if they knew those things. So talk to me about that.
I could talk to you about that for a million years, because it's my current obsession and passion. So what you're talking about is misophonia, and misophonia is like certain noises and things, right? And so I have pretty extreme misphonia as well. And it's challenging because while I have misphonia, I'm also a clicker and I'm a stimmer and a person who does a lot of movement. And now the conversation is about, because there's so many amazing people in the world that are coming forward with their neurodivergence. And also thank you for sharing that with me, Elaine, because a lot of people feel funny to share those things. And I would love to blast down all of those walls and have everybody share what makes them tick so that we can all together create a more inclusive space, right? And here's the real challenge, because now as we're learning what things make us work, we then also have to leave room for each other. And it's rough because, like, for example, when somebody's disability isn't counterintuitive to somebody else's disability. And for example, like, you know, I have a family member that I won't say who it is, but I have a family member that is hearing impaired. And so when they are watching TV or something, it's quite loud and I'm very defensive. So when I'm like, my gosh, turn down this TV, what's going on? Then we have to decide, okay, is anybody's disability more important than anyone else's? No. So what can I do or what can they do? Can they use a hearing aid? Is that accessible for them? And if it's not, okay, what can I do? I can put on headphones. So the thing that's really, I think, important in that is understanding your needs and then understanding a reasonable accommodation. Because sometimes what you would consider a reasonable accommodation, like turning down the volume on the TV, is not reasonable for somebody else. And this is the part that I don't know if people are gonna jump on with both feet onto my bandwagon or not, but in the hair industry, we have to consider that our clients have needs that in some situations, because they are paying us, supersede ours. Mm-hmm. Now, and that's rough. It's a hard pill to swallow, because am I disabled? Yes. But is this person who's paying me's needs superseding mine in that moment? A little. And I have to decide what I'm willing to accommodate myself with or what I'm not deciding to accommodate myself with. A perfect example of accommodation for me within the salon is that I don't do well when I'm interrupted. When I'm interrupted in any, like when I, especially if I'm not expecting it. So an example is if I'm working on a client and somebody comes over and says, hey, your next client's here. Is this something that happens everywhere, right? But I used to think it was because I was like, you're going to make the client feel rushed. Yes. Okay. Yes. That's part of it. But the other part is now I feel rushed. Now I'm stressed out and now I can't think straight. And I was in the middle of doing something. So something that has been an accommodation for me is that I get a text. Anytime a client shows up, I please ask the greeter or whoever's working at the front, please do not come and interrupt me. Please do not come tap me on the shoulder. Don't even give me eyes across the room. I don't want to see it. Send me a text. I will feel it on my watch and I'll look and be like, okay, my next client's here. I'm going to deal with that when I can. For me, a technology, memo or something like somebody telling me via technology is less stressful for me than a person.
Less intrusive. Yeah, I love that.
So I don't know if that answers your question. That's a ramble and a rant, but I feel like being.
No, but that leads me to the other way that we connected. I have an in-person retreat for my Hair Color Secrets Insider members every year. And I'm always trying to outdo myself with swag. I love spoiling people with swag. So I had seen your chat or chill tool and I thought it was genius. And I understand why you created it, because I'm a talker. I love when I'm doing hair, talk, talk, talk. I could tell stories, talk all day long. And not every client is someone that wants to sit in a talker's chair. So I found on the days that I had to do someone else's client, they called out sick, they had a baby, whatever the reason, this one client was brave enough to call me out. Most people would just sit there and think, oh my God, shut up, please. You know, they're thinking of it, they would never say it. And she said, I said, are you okay with me being chatty back here? Like, do you want to just tell me to be quiet and work? And she goes, well, when I'm in here and I hear you talking, I kind of treat you like the white noise on an airplane. I kind of have learned how to block you out. And meanwhile, she's in my chair and I'm like, that's interesting. I said, you do know that I work with like chemicals and I can really ruin your day. I did laugh about it, but I was like, wow, that was really abrupt. But she was saying, basically, I am not in your chair on a regular basis because you talk too much and I'm not a talker. So giving our clients that choice in such a subtle way, I thought it was great. I don't think that you promote it enough, like not enough people know about it and should. I think every single hairstylist should have that little, you have it where it can either suction onto the mirror or it can go onto a counter, onto your station. But it's subtle, but gets to the point. Do you want me to talk to you today or do you want to be quiet? Because how many times have we seen a client, they'll have a magazine and then we'll ask them about their hair and then it leads into a conversation and then you see them look at the magazine and then the conversation starts again and you're like, do they want the conversation to start or are they just feeling like they have to entertain me now? So there's this awkward, unsure feeling.
Well, right. And I mean, also for some people too, one of the number one things, I've talked so much on different blogs and different conversations around this. And like you said, it's been a slow uptick to knowledge around silent appointments. Now, a lot of people are talking about silent appointments, but think of the different ways they could implement it. So maybe the different ways they could implement it was, for example, like, I don't know, like, they might implement it. Sorry, somebody walked in and I was like, what's happening?
You were interrupted. How dare them?
Exactly. Can you just remind me what I was talking about?
different ways of doing the silent thing without the chiller chat. Like they're trying to get around, trying to do it in another way. Yeah.
Sorry about that. Like the different ways that somebody might implement chat or chill, they didn't hear about this card. So they're thinking like, oh, I could put it in my software and I could ask if somebody wants a silent appointment or whatever. They've got a paperwork or maybe, oh, so just so you know, blah, blah, blah requested a silent appointment. Well, I'm sorry, I also have severe ADHD. So when I have somebody in my chair, I'm not always 100% thinking of those details. And I never wanted somebody to request a silent appointment and then me not give it to them. Because here it's like, okay, now I'm defying their boundaries. They've specifically said no, thank you, and now I'm still talking. So the tool is great because it's also visual. It's a visual aid. So it's not only a visual aid for the client, it's also a visual aid for the stylist. So I have
Yes.
that on my station. So at any point, if I forget what's happening or should I be talking, I look up, there it says chill or chat. And I'm like, oh, shut up, Tara, stop talking. So, that's a benefit. And also, the amount of clients that have come in, and now I will say not a lot of people use it every time, but the amount of clients that come in and people that I always love to talk to, and they sit down and they flick it and they're just like, oh, and I'm like, wow, they're having a hard day. Like, this has nothing to do with me. And then there's people who don't ever want to talk and talk out of pure anxiety. Like, gosh. I had a nail tech for years that thought I hated her and like did not look forward to her appointments with me and thought I was really picky and unkind. And I didn't know this. I actually had another friend that was seeing her and she told me that this person was kind of gossipy and telling her this. And I was like, oh my God. And the whole thing was, is I would go in there with a podcast in my ears and just be like, just do my nails, please. And the thing is that she didn't know that I don't like to be touched. She didn't know that I didn't want to talk. She didn't know, but she picked up on what was different and what was happening with me. We are not mind readers. We need to stop thinking we have the power to mind read. Sometimes we think a client doesn't like us, or we're like, what's the client's problem? Are they having a bad day? Do they want to talk? Do they just want to read this magazine? Whatever that looks like, why don't we just take that weird boundary out of it and just have something that tells us chat or chill, So that's why I invented the card. And honestly, I also invented it in a time where politics and all those conversations were real rough at the salon. And frankly, do we need to do that? We don't. So like, let's just I'm a person too. I don't need to hear this all day long either, right? So I think it's a really great way to kind of eschew these types of conversations that aren't great either. So
I love that. And that brings me to uncomfortable conversations with clients. I think sometimes we don't realize that we have a choice in whether to engage or not. I see that a lot on forums where people are like, well, my client keeps wanting to talk about this and I don't want to talk about it. And they just keep talking about it because they feel like they're di being disrespectful to the client. I'm like, That's where emotional intelligence comes in. I wish I discovered emotional intelligence much earlier in my career. I didn't know about it. I didn't understand any of it. I just thought, especially because most times our clients are a little bit older than us when we're starting out. So you're like, oh, I can't say anything to her. You know, she's older than me and I have to be respectful. But just pivoting the conversation in such a subtle way sometimes can completely diffuse a situation, and just knowing when and how to do that is really interesting. Now, when it comes to ADHD, I have a love of my ADHD. I think that having that has been my secret weapon to success. Do you ever feel that way sometimes? Like, I don't think I would want it any other. I can't imagine not being so multitask and all over and being able to hold up all the balls in the air. I mean, it's exhausting sometimes, but I get a lot done. How do you feel about that?
Well, I'm happy you asked, because I think that there are aspects that have allowed me to be and have the success I've had in my career due to my neuropsychological makeup, right? So like ADHD, like I can think of 37 different things and create 37 different things that other people might not even have the wherewithal to create or to come up with. And it's just because my brain has like 6 or 7 tabs open all day, every single day, with videos running, just all this. And then my like autism and my sense of having really no social boundaries in a lot of situations, to be very honest, I may be the person that texts the main boss inappropriately because I'm like, hey girl, how you doing today? And the problem is with that sometimes people are turned off by that, but other times people are like, what does this person have different? So I remember the very first big industry event that I went to, and I'm talking to all the top dogs on stage, like we're friends, like we're homies, like we've hung out forever. And then immediately it was almost like they are like, oh, I know that person, we're friends. And then I was like, oh, they're thinking of me as friends because I came into it with friend energy.
Yes.
It's really just, I didn't have the social boundary to understand we weren't friends. And then I was able to make connections and put myself on stages. And I want to be very clear that it revolved around a lot of hard work, many, many years of working, countless nights, overnights, like literally putting together wefts in the middle of the night. Like, all that work happened. But I also think that happened because of my ADHD, because I don't require a lot of sleep. I just go and go and go. And then I sleep for 3 days and then I go and go and go. So yes, a superpower, also an immense challenge in a lot of situations.
Yeah. My son also has it. My brother has it. And my son's, you know, he goes back and forth. He's like, should I try medication? Because a lot of his friends have gone on the medication and they can focus a lot more. But I'm like, there's something about, like, I feel like you're born with certain gifts. And I look at that as a gift and not a detriment, you know, in most times. But to your point, I'm exactly the same way with the boundaries. I worked at a big corporation. One of my first jobs as a colorist, where I got a lot of my training, I was an assistant. And there was 4 big bosses. They were all male. They all had egos. And every time one of them entered the building, everybody scrambled and cleaned their station and got real nervous. And the one guy's name was Ralph, and he never came around. He was like the big, big cheese. And when he walked in, I'm like, Ralphie, baby, how's it going? And he loved that. To your point about the head honchos, I always look at everybody as we all put our pants on one leg at a time, the same way every morning. We're all the same. Like if I met Oprah, I think I would walk up to her and hug her as if she was my best friend, because I've followed her for so long. And I'm like, oh my God, it's Oprah. So I think the way that you and I feel about that, because we were born that way and we've been that way for all these years, I can't imagine not being like that. You know, everybody would gasp when I would call him Ralph, or I used to call one of the nuns in my Catholic school by her first name. You know, I'd be like, hey, that's Bev, cool. And she would crack up, like, because she's a human being that chose to be a nun. Like, she's not an alien from another planet. So she loved, we had such a great relationship, because she's like, everybody else treats me like the mean school nun and they avoid me, and you give me a hug and call me Beverly. I love it. So yeah, I think it can go both ways.
I agree. And I mean, truthfully, we're also, and I mean, this is aside from hair world, but we're in a really interesting time where people have to make those types of decisions for like what helps them cope and what doesn't. And like, I am on medication, and I need to be, because I found myself too scattered. You know, like I'm the person who turns on the coffee pot and doesn't put a cup under it, 'cause I'm already 3 blocks down doing something else. So Yeah. And so it's great until you're trying to hold down a household, raise a child, bring them to school on time, and you can't even get dressed. So I would say functionality and like the level in which you can function in your daily tasks determines it. And maybe you don't need meds. And I think that's amazing. I didn't need meds until I honestly, till I had a child and I had a whole new set of responsibilities. That's like, well, you had a coping strategy and she's gone now. So let's figure it out. So I think that like for those listening, like be empowered by if you need meds or if you don't, because whatever works for you is what works for you. Right. And if it's not, if something's not working, you got to fix it. You got to find the solution so that you can grow and consistently improve upon your own self. So
I agree 100%. And I know you have a client, so I don't want to keep you. I could talk color with you all day long. And I know that people listening are going to say, I want to hear more from this person and want to find you. So what's the best way that they can connect with you?
So I post a lot of my hair content on Instagram. I do lots of different videos and I tell people all the time, please, please, please send me DMs, especially if you're like, hey, I live in this area and I want to know where I can attend one of your classes. Or, hey, Tara, like I have this Shades EQ gloss question. What can I do here? I am open to that. Do not fear that, like approaching me about those questions, because if I maybe don't have time to deal with it, then I will definitely reach out to you as soon as I can. I love talking hair color. I love meeting hairstylists. It's the reason why I do this. So reach out to me on Instagram, DM me on there. I'm also on TikTok. That's where I post a little bit more of my autism and ADHD content, but I do post hair stuff on there as well.
Awesome. And you're going to have to spell your Instagram because that long last name can be difficult.
I married into it. And I will say, at least I start with AB as the last name because I mean, I'm at the top of every list, but dang, a hard spell. So it's Tara, so T-A-R-A, and then underscore Abramowitz, A-B-R-A, M as in man, O-W-I, C as in cat, and Z as in zebra. And that's just my name on Instagram. So Tara underscore Abramowitz.
Awesome. And I can attest to the fact that she does answer DMs because she got right back to me when I asked her to be on the podcast, and I love that. You are such a treasure, a gift to the industry. I'm so grateful for this time with you. And we definitely need to do it again and get more into some other color things. But I love everything that you shared and I so appreciate you. So thank
you. I love that, Elaine. Thank you so much. And I appreciate you. Thank you for doing what you're doing for the industry. It's huge. It's a big deal. And like, I'm just so happy that whoever is here listening that they have found you because you offer so much knowledge and so much like power in the salon industry.
Thank you so much. And thank you everybody for listening. We'll see you on the next one.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Ask the Color Expert podcast. Please subscribe and be sure to leave a review. For more information on hair color education, please visit my website, www.expertcolorsolutions.com. See you soon.